This is Liz Booker with a literary aviatrix waypoint along our journey through stories featuring women in aviation. This one is from Season 1, Episode 10, in my interview with Lauren Kessler about her book, The Happy Bottom Writing Club, The Life and Times of Poncho Barnes. In it, she does a reading about the 1929 Women's Transcontinental Air Race.
This is maybe about a quarter of the way through the book. And I thought that those of you who are pilots, and I bet that's a lot of you, maybe all of you would appreciate this one. Of the 4,690 licensed pilots in America in the summer of 1929, 34 were women. When a woman showed up at an airfield, test piloted a plane, or flew in a race, she, along with the airfield, the plane, and the race, assured publicity. Female flyers were so much of a novelty that they were almost a sideshow. They were also the most dramatic, most visible symbol of women breaking their Victorian pasts, defying convention as they defied gravity. It was a new age when young women of a certain class used their privilege not to shield themselves from experience, but to lunge at it. And no one lunged harder than Poncho. And of course, the women that she flew with. That was why when plans were announced for the first national air races to be held in Cleveland that summer, this is 1929, they were quickly followed by plans for an all-female cross-country air derby, the first in the world. It would be an endurance marathon, as much as a race, with women flying sunup to sundown every day as they covered 2,800 miles from Santa Monica, California to Cleveland, Ohio. Each night, they would stop at a different sponsoring city. After more than a week of flying with much hoopla, the racers would land in front of the main grandstand at the Cleveland Municipal Airport in the midst of a 10-day national event. It was not an easy course. For 8 days, 10 to 12 hours a day, the women would fly by dead reckoning, hopscotching across the Southwest and Midwest, guided only by compasses, sectional charts, and Rand McNally road maps, which they put on their laps while they were flying. Each would carry a gallon of drinking water, a three-day supply of malted milk tablets, and beef jerky in case of a crash in desolate terrain. The pilots would stop en route only for fuel, rest, and food. They had 17 scheduled checkpoints. On the dirt field that August afternoon, the airplanes were strung out in two long lines as the crowd, estimated between 100,000 and a quarter of a million, waited in the dust and searing heat for the radio-relayed pistol shot from Cleveland to cue the starter in the field. So 100,000 to a quarter of a million people watching the women's first air derby. Movie and stage comedian Will Rogers, an aviation enthusiast, presided over the ceremonies, entertaining the crowd, but not the leather-jacketed flyers, by referring to the women as flying flappers, petticoat pilots, sweethearts of the air, and winged beauties. He dubbed the air race the Powder Puff Derby. In the press tent, a reporter turned to his colleagues. "I don't care what you guys write about their bravery, their skill, their sportsmanship, or their adaptability to goddamn airplanes," he said. "What I'm going to write is, them women don't look good in pants." Poncho was, oh, so at precisely 2 p.m., the pistol shot in Cleveland sounded over the loudspeaker in Santa Monica, California, and at one-minute intervals, the contestants took off to the wave of a starter's flag. Poncho was, of course, there. Poncho was confident as she flew over the familiar Southern California turf that first day. She'd spent several weeks in June flying the entire course all the way to Cleveland, so she knew well what lay ahead of her, and she was prepared for it. She had not done as much cross-country flying as some of the other women, but what she had done, she loved. She loved the challenge to wits and stamina, the feeling that she was alone up there and in charge.